morning, it's March 21st. Sunday.
Oh, Lord, we ask that your spirit would be here today, O Lord, that it would be inhabit everything that we say, everything that we hear, O Lord. And Lord, is that the song we just heard, O Lord, that there would be triumph, O Lord, triumph of your love, your truth, your light, O Lord. Oh, that there would be revival. Yes, revival amongst us, but just generally, revival. Revival in this land, in the Chippewa Valley, O Lord, so that your goodness would drown everything that is dark and not of you, O Lord. Do that good work by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm not sure how to start this, but about 50 years ago, I lived in Seattle, and I had a dream that brought me back here. I'm from this area, and but of course I love Seattle. And in the dream, my wife and I were standing side by side, and everything was on fire. It was a dream, of course. And as we're standing looking, we're petrified, and we're looking at this thing, an angel appeared in front of us. And he said, the Lord is coming. He had his hand raised, the Lord is coming. And I asked him, I said, do we have time to tell our loved ones? And he said, you just have time. That was 50 years ago. Well, anyway, I get thinking about that this last week. And when I hear a prayer request from somebody, or it's normally a family member or somebody they love, and it's like that's who we are. And Jesus being a man, according to the scriptures, he had the same kind of an approach, I'm sure. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, that Jesus' mother, and it says his brethren, were also, a lot of people don't know that he had brothers and sisters, but the Bible says he did. And they were in the upper room and got filled with the Holy Spirit, just like the rest of them did. And so one of the questions that I have had in my mind is a lot of people feel that the James and Jude that are mentioned, the last books of the Bible, were the brothers of Jesus, because he had a brother named James and he had a brother named Jude. And but what I discovered is that there are also two other disciples that were James and Jude, besides the brother John. And so as I looked at it, I'm not sure, you know, there's no way that I could know. But but anyway, so we're interested. We get saved, we get close to the Lord, and we're interested in our family, in our family members. And there might not be a good opportunity sometimes to talk to them, but at the same time, it's an interest. We can't get rid of it. And I thought the same thing with Jesus. The man part, the human part, would he be interested in his brothers and his mother go to heaven or not? Mm-hmm. Of course he would. And so I spent quite a bit of time concerned about all this. I shouldn't be, but I was. And And because in the sixth chapter of John, it says that neither did his brethren believe in him. And I thought, what a horrible thing this must have been for him to be preaching and doing miracles and signs and wonders and all kinds of things, and his brethren didn't believe in him. And it tells us that. And they said, well, if you can do all of these things, why don't you go out and do it? You know, nobody wants to do these things in secret. They want people to see it. For they didn't believe in him in the sixth chapter of John. So when I saw that in the first chapter of Acts, that his mother and his brethren were in the upper room, it was like I had almost a born again experience myself, in happiness. And I thought, of course. But what shows something about it, who he was, the humanity. But anyway,
I always think it's a funny schedule that the Lord has. I think about that vision you had, Keith. And you're asking, do I have time? And the angel responding, you just have time. Well, we think in terms of weeks or months or whatever. Well, it turns out it's a little more like 50 years. In the book of Revelation, John says, oh, come quickly, Lord, come quickly. Well, it's about 2,000 years ago. It is a funny schedule, but it's a good schedule. It's a good schedule. It's not one that's not the kind of schedule we're used to, but if we somehow can be heavenly minded, we can say, yeah, no, it's not my schedule, but it's a good schedule. In fact, if it were my schedule, there'd be something a little less about it than there is, Let God be surprising and different from our way of doing things.
But our interest, you know, when it gets right down to it, our interest is in those that we're close to, that we love. And those are going to be the ones that we bring up for prayer, that we ask for, that we talk to. And Jesus, that shows the humanity. I'm sure he was no exception. And that must have hurt when it says that neither did his brethren believe in him. But it doesn't tell us, it says that he had sisters. It doesn't say there was, I would say, being a plural, that there would be at least two. But it doesn't tell us whether there's more or not. Not that it matters. But at some point afterwards, I don't even know which one of the brothers was the oldest. But this does show the humanity a little more, doesn't it?
Don't have to be quiet, just go. Hi. Hi. Got the chair. I lost my Bible again. Oh, well. You've got your phone.
Yeah?
No, I always have it. Maybe I took it home.
Got extras if you want.
Thanks. What did I miss? keep a testimony.
Oh. You missed the best part.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to do a few things upstairs or I wouldn't have missed it. So
well, that's what, usually what we miss.
I know.
According to everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you've heard it before, though, at least once.
Oh, no, Corky. Come on now.
So it's a good, strong, powerful testimony. I like that. It was talking about time. And how 50 years ago the Lord told him he had just enough time. Yeah. And I think that's the Lord always, isn't it? Just enough time.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at that and take comfort in that. Because on one hand, someone says, well, you don't have any time. But in God's time, you have plenty of time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it can be a comfort going, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get this done in time. And, you know, but in God's way of looking at time, you've got years. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, you think about Abraham. He was promised all these descendants he was going to have. You know, and he's getting to be 90, in his mid-90s there, and God says, no, you're going to have descendants like the sand of the sea, or the beaches, whatever. That seems so, no, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Well, it did happen. He turned 100, and then he ended up being the father of many nations, whatever. We think that's a pretty foolish expectation to be keeping alive, but it's almost as though God's playing with us in a way.
It just goes to prove that God can do anything he says and he wants.
Yeah.
And his timing is perfect. Yes. Yeah. So we were just talking about time this morning, weren't we? You know, I mean, you put things in perspective, like, how much time do I have left to get this done? How much time do I have left to get that done? How much time? And you can get yourself all wound up with how much time, you know, and I better have a list, and I better do it like this, and I better get it. And you're going, wait a minute. If you really trust the Lord, he will give you enough time to do everything that he wants you to do. And that's where you have to put your time and trust in him, that he knows the best, and he knows what's most important. I mean, it may be really important for me to get in the garden, but it's not really important to God. Yeah, but it may be important to God. Yeah. You know, I mean, we can't second guess, because once you finally just give it over to the Lord, there's like this weight that's been laying on your shoulders, and you're going, oh, thank you for that relief. So, that's what I'm trying to do.
I don't always succeed.
No. No.
I know with me, it's getting my closets cleaned out before the Lord takes me home. It just isn't happening as fast as I would like.
You know, we fail until we succeed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and that makes the success that much sweeter, having a rather long record of failing, you know. But I've thought that failing is hard. Succeeding is easy. Nothing to succeeding. Just the failing is hard.
I think I've heard for years and years, just, you know, we need to give it to the Lord. And I'm going, oh, I don't think he can handle this problem. I'm going... And I wanted to keep taking everything back and keep taking everything back. And, you know, and he just puts us in a position where no matter what you're doing, as simple as it may be, like, do I take the last cookie or do I leave it for somebody else? That's very simplified, but it's like, you know, it's up to the Lord. You know, I mean, where does your heart lie? Does your heart lie in being submissive to everything. Not that I'm saying you have to pray over a plate of cookies. I mean, we'd all lose, But just being willing to do whatever the Lord wants us to do is really, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a lot of prayer and
redoing.
Yep, and trial and error. But the end part is, like I said, once you get that burden off your shoulders and you can breathe again and you're not bogged down, it's so nice to not have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm. So when you turn it over to the Lord, you have to completely turn it over and not, okay, I'm going to turn this over to you, Lord. Next thing you know, you're trying to do it.
Well, that's what I said. I'm going, I give this to you, but I think it's like way too big.
You should do this first.
So
that's a lesson learned.
It is.
And it takes time after time.
It takes a lot of trust, too, to turn over to the Lord and wait on Him to do it. A lot of faith.
Yeah.
That, let Him do it, not me, not you.
Yeah. Well, and that's the good part, grace, because you give it over to Him, you take it back, you give it to Him, you take it back, and,
it's patience.
Yeah. It's like, are you sure? Are you sure? I mean, and it's not that I'm questioning God, because obviously the questioning is in me. Mm-hmm. I keep questioning myself. Not that God can't handle anything, but it's, I should just take this back for now. Maybe I need to work on this longer. Maybe our mind gets so filled with the shoulda, woulda, couldas that we forget that all that God's saying is just give it to me and we're done. Yeah, don't say anything more. We're done.
And sometimes you don't realize that you've taken it back.
I don't.
Until you're upset again and it's
I thought I gave this.
But apparently not.
That's why He's so loving and kind and understanding.
Yeah. I know though, in years past, things that I did finally give over, such a relief. I don't know the word for it. It's just so easy then.
It's relaxing.
It is. It's like, I can breathe again.
I don't have to worry about this anymore.
It's so easy and good. It's so funny we don't do it a little more, isn't it?
I know.
The flesh gets in the way. There's been times, I don't know what I would have done if I wouldn't have had the Lord to give it to Him.
So we need to talk about those closets a little bit more.
No, we don't.
Don't forget that place.
Yeah, well, that's even worse than the closets. I'll start with the closets first.
But again, those are material things.
Yes.
We're storing up our treasures in heaven. And that's where we need to keep our eye focused. And we keep forgetting. Because you know what? Some of them clean up your closets.
I know. And my plan was to do it so someone else wouldn't have to.
I know. But
if I don't get it done, I don't get it done.
Yeah. I go, you know what? It's okay. It's okay.
We'll try.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not like you should give it up, but. He's just so good.
Yep.
And that approach has really helped us with the way we approach the Word of God. Instead of making it our responsibility to understand and learn everything, we let God teach us what we need to learn in His timing. So it's instead of saying, yeah, it's on me, I've got to go study, I've got to go do all these things. So you don't. You just have to come as open, willing heart, like a child, and let God show you what He needs you to know, when you need to know it. And those of us that got that revelation, as you were saying, it was a huge burden lifted off of it. It was like, I'll never know this. Mm-hmm. And you go, it's written such you won't know it unless God wants you to know it anyways. So as soon as you take yourself out of the equation and say, Lord, just teach me what I need to know. It's changed my walk.
Makes it a little easier.
based on the Gospel of John, where Jesus promises that he's going to send the Helper. And that's what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you and show you all things, give you all truth. So the way we kind of come upon that was by listening, not studying, listening. And if you pray to the Lord and you say, yeah, I want you to teach me, that's how he'll do it. You know, if we read, you know, if you read without trying to figure it out yourself, or you listen, then he will let the Holy Spirit bring you truth. And that's, I think it's in John 14:15, 15:16. About three different times he comments about the Holy Spirit teaching and bringing truth. And that way, you don't have to be racking your brain and thinking you have to be study, you know?
And it's such a wonderful experience when that happens, too.
Yeah.
You know? That heavenly flashlight goes on, and you see, penetrate what it is that's going on, and you realize you didn't come up with that. That was light from heaven, not your own smart brain, you know? Yeah, I love that. I love it when that happens.
Doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, how much money you got, whatever. He'll teach whoever wants it. If you ask. He doesn't have any guidelines for other than to come with an open heart.
Yeah, it's John 14, verse 25, where he says, all this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful promise.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's John 16:7. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin. Well, let's see. Then it goes down to 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Yeah, 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So that's how we learn about Jesus.
Where would we be without the Spirit?
Lost.
too is he says, you need to come to me as a little child, no matter how old you are. Come as a little child. And what we've kind of seen is because you're a little older now, but when you're really young, even younger than you are now, you look to your parents for everything almost, you know? And you just trust them to tell you what's right and all that and take care of you. And so that's the way he's saying we should come to him no matter how old we are or what age we are. You come with that heart of a little child that trusts him to take care of you, to give you the truth and everything. And so, in fact, he says you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you come as a little child. So that's why it's important. And that's for you at your age right now, or me and us at our older ages. We still have to remain as a little child in our heart.
Not in body.
Yeah.
It's so opposite of the way we think in the natural, you know. We try real hard to be grown up and make, you know, do it, you know. Well, we're going the wrong direction. We're going south on a one-way street that goes north, you know. And it is hard to get your thinking lined up with that, but, we don't do it ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit. Be as a little child. We don't come that way naturally.
I think I could stay 10 forever. I think I could stay 10 years old forever.
Good thought, but you won't.
You won't. You told me that a lot this last week.
Oh, well.
Just one goal.
It's probably why I still like listening to Bible stories. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy. the conquering, the winning, the teaching. I've always liked Bible stories, and I still do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, here it is here in Matthew 19:14. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.
I was looking too, I just had a phone at the child, but yeah, I'm glad you found that.
Where did you get it?
Okay. Let the little children in Matthew 19:14. This is where the people were bringing children to Jesus, and the disciples said not to bother them, you know. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And you said in John also?
No, I didn't find this spot. I know it's somewhere out in one of the other ones. So.
Yeah, that's just Matthew. It should be John and Mark. His heart was always with the children, though, because they were more innocent.
Mm-hmm. And that's what he means by the little children, no matter what age you are, innocent.
Yeah, and I just read that in John 9, that he speaks to them as little children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
cupboard to this cupboard. I don't know how many there are. That's a lot. There's a lot.
There was a little boy that had the fish and the loaves of bread that they used to feed everybody too.
You know, you think about that story of the boy with the loaves, a couple loaves, a few loaves there, a few fishes. And there is something sweet but pretty foolish about that kid looking to solve the problem of feeding these thousands of people with the kind of little bit of a meal that he had. But he offers it, and then lo and behold, the workings of the Lord are such that it worked. His few loaves, his few fishes, they fed the 5,000 or however remember, was it 5,000 men or whatever?
Not including the rest of them there.
There's a lesson there. You think, oh, Lord, what I have to offer is so meager, so inadequate for what needs to be done or whatever, you know? Yeah. How do you expect to feed 5,000 people with what I got here? It's not going to happen. It takes the foolishness of a little child to think there's any good that's going to come of that at all. And yet, you know, we offer that little bit of a thing and the Lord can do really marvelous things with it.
Thank you.
on the five loaves, it speaks of the abundance that God gives out of a little bit too, because he asked them, how many did you pick up when everybody was full? Mm-hmm. 12.
12 baskets.
12 baskets left. Mm-hmm. That's more than he started with.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
His abundance is more than we can even understand at times, I think.
There's a lot of lessons in this little parable.
Mm-hmm.
A little child doesn't question, and he gives, and he gives 100%. And
mm-hmm.
God does what he does with 100%. And as we were saying, you know, Charlie was touching on it, there's no way that this should work out. You know, and if you think about it, you try and apply natural man
logic
to this, you just stop and you miss out on what God can do.
And what he does.
And what he does. This goes back to something Ken said that I think it's really worth just emphasizing. You know, to God, we're all the same. And the only way to do that is to discount gender, discount intelligence, discount wealth, and make it meaningless. Because he's only interested in our soul. And our soul is the same for all of us, regardless of race, creed, what have you. And once you look and see how the scripture reinforces that, you come as a little child. Children, they don't worry about these things. They just try and please.
Mm-hmm.
If we get wiser and smarter, we start screwing up.
A child believes without doubt.
Right. So there's an element of faith that goes on in a youth and a child that we tend to lose as adults. We call it reason.
Yeah, we know better.
We know better. We've now decided that that's not a good thing.
All right.
We don't have faith that God will take care of us. So
life has taught us.
Yeah. Not saying ignore some of the things, but when it has an opportunity to trust in God.
I think so often that the Lord, he spoke to us so much, almost in simplified ways. When you look at the eight Beatitudes, I mean, his way of stating them are just pure and simple. I mean, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It wasn't anything that you couldn't understand. It was almost brought down to, I think, a child's level in that sense that he was talking to us. He wasn't, you know,
preaching.
Yeah. I mean, he was just expressing the heart of the Father, and he made it simple enough for us to understand. I just take it as all throughout, he spoke, in a sense, as children. As to us children, you know, and I'm grateful for that because it makes it easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
At least it does to me.
And it does confound the wise.
Right.
So we shouldn't be wise.
You know, some of that stuff I don't know as I want to understand, though. You know? We're supposed to. Someone takes away our cloak, we're also supposed to give them, you know, some other article of clothing or whatever. I remember when I was in jail, I was talking about the ministering in jail.
Yeah.
Find
that. I was
going to
say, Charlie's in jail?
Two to five.
Anyway, I was talking about, someone takes away your pudding, give them your candy bar too, you know. And, that did not go over very well. It was kind of an kind of a silence, an uneasy silence, you know. And it's a little touchy in jail when there's power struggles and, you know, it's a bad place to be teaching that lesson, but in a way, it's a good way, you know. But, our natural man has a hard time accepting, you want to take this from me? Take this too, you know. You're going to make me go on a mile? Okay, I'll go an extra mile. We don't want to do that. But, it's easy to understand, but it's hard.
Hard to practice what we preach. But our hearts will get there someday, because that's what we're learning.
Yeah. I heard a good thing this week. Let me share it with you. That old Puritan preacher, Jonathan Edwards, if you're familiar with him, he said, people can talk about how honey is sweet, people that are trustworthy would be saying, yeah, honey, it's sweet. You could be totally accepting, yeah, honey, it is sweet. Yeah. That is a different experience than taking a spoonful of honey in your mouth and experiencing what that is. It's a different deal, different deal. And, it's like that with the Lord. People can yak about God and his characteristics and so forth, talk about him. And you have no reason to argue with it. Yeah, okay. It's a different thing to have an experience with the Lord. In the same way, it's a different thing to have a spoonful of honey in your mouth as compared with accepting that, yeah, honey would be sweet. There was, St. Thomas Aquinas, medieval theologian that, he wrote, thousands of pages about theology, I think out of his own head. And then he just, in the middle of it, stopped. He stopped. He asked, why'd you do that? Why'd you stop? Well, it turns out he had an experience with the Lord. He realized, writing about it, that is not where it is at. That is, bunch of yakking a bunch of words, he just plain stopped doing it.
That's why it's called the living word.
Yeah, right.
That's kind of in the vein of the thing we say about the man with an experience is not at the mercy of the man with an argument.
Yep, that's the same kind of line. Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They can try to talk to you out of God and everything else, but if you've experienced them, they got nothing to say that's going to change your mind.
Yeah.
And they don't know because they haven't experienced. So
exactly
yeah.
what you
yeah.
were saying.
Yeah, it is. That's what it is.
Well, using your example, Charlie, you know, you can talk to me and tell me all about how sweet and the sunny is, but unless I taste it for myself, I'm not going to know.
Not really, though.
Unless you experience it yourself, you're not going to know.
No, not really, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the answer, so if someone quizzed you on the taste of honey, you'd be able to come up sweet. You'd mark it off on the test, you know, on the test sheet. No, it is sweet. You know, Glenn told me it was, so that's him.
Yeah. I know it now.
So it'll be a little vinegar, right?
Yeah.
You know?
It's supposed to help the medicine go down.
Yeah. Right.
Keith, I found in Mark 6 where you were talking about the brothers and sisters of Jesus. It's in Mark 6 where he's in his own hometown accompanied by his disciples. And they're questioning him, where did this man get these things? They asked, what is this wisdom that Heth was giving him? What are these remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. But it does say the brothers, four of them, and sisters, multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Mark 6.
Yeah.
The chapter starting in the beginning.
The beginning.
Yeah.
Well, he's starting that.
So it does say his brothers.
It really places him as a man, though, doesn't it, in that context?
Yeah. And then it says that they took offense at him. Now, is that speaking of his brothers and sisters or the people that are questioning them?
Uh-huh. In Luke chapter 4, it says, is this not the son of Joseph? And remember we were talking before, that's the same thing in Mark 6, 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so... it's the same setting, you know, surroundings. And so it's like we were wondering, why didn't he say something about Joseph? Well, apparently they did.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the way that Mark recorded it. In Luke 4, they did. They did say that.
Well, and that's the Pharisees are all trying to explain how Jesus had all of this knowledge and understanding about God because he hadn't been taught by the Pharisees and, you know, they're going, who is this guy? He's the son of a carpenter. Where is he getting this? And, well, he was getting it from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were offended because didn't have their seal of approval.
Yep.
Spouting off.
And their lack of faith caused them not to be able to see the miracles.
Let me throw in another little perspective. So Jesus was preaching and people were all around him and someone says, Jesus, your mother and brothers and sisters are outside. And what does he say? These are my brothers and sisters that believe, I think it's
mm-hmm.
in God, you know. So you can be the equivalent of his real brothers and sisters just by believing.
Mm-hmm. It makes it a little tough if you're a biological brother and sister, though.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing special about me. I don't know if I like that. I
wonder if his brothers weren't a little jealous, maybe, of all the attention he was getting.
Well, I'm sure that's what it was back when they said, why don't you go show up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they were jealous. You think about that. It'd be hard not to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and like they said, he wasn't a handsome guy. It says he was uncomely and everything else, but he's never doing anything wrong.
and you're messing up because you're not him, that'd be tough.
Yeah.
You know, I could see it. But obviously, they had what was meant to be in them by the end, because then they did, you know,
mm-hmm.
believe.
Right.
Deny the truth only so long.
Right. I'm sure.
If
the mother
had a lot to do
with the head.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you don't hear much about Joseph, though, do you?
No. All of that has perplexed me for years.
You know? I mean,
did he talk?
If you don't stop and think about it, he's kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know. And you don't realize it because it's always, you know, but. Not in the picture anymore.
No.
No.
Doesn't even say when he died, does it?
No. Doesn't say. So you don't know. It's because he passed, or because he went off, or because it just.
Or did he believe? Or
yeah, right.
Or if he just wanted less of me and more of you.
I mean, he had a certain function and calling that God put on him, and the same was with Joseph. I mean, because he was receiving dreams and believing them and acting on them in faith, you know, by taking Jesus to all the different places.
He had faith.
So he was, you know.
Preserved Jesus' life in the process of doing that.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's all God required of him.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. And I come to the conclusion I'm not going to find it in the Word.
Apparently it's not important to know.
Which
well, I think there might be a lesson in it. Just like Jesus, though, his what he was called to do got done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, same with that, same Joseph, what he was called to do got done.
Friend of the bride, instead of the actual bride.
Yeah. Yeah, we like to have it be in there and be relevant right up until the end, but that's not what it is. That's not what it is.
I sound like I'm dying, but I'm not really. Yeah.